We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
No.
The Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep Podcast Network Game 6 post-game podcast. I'm Ty Windisch, joined as always by the wonderful Rohan Kadi, the excellent Adam McGee of the Eurostep and Win in 6 podcast, respectively. That's all the niceties I have in me because I'm disgusted.
We have more niceties.
What do you want? Really?
Yes.
What niceties?
We have Win in 6 merch being repped on national TV, Ty.
It's great. I don't have the...
It is great.
I'm sorry the Bucks ruined it by playing a disgusting game of basketball.
I'm not having you take away from people who are buying our merch. I wasn't personally going to lead off with this.
Yeah,
but we're not... Well, look, winning six man.
If you're
listening, we'll get back to it. Keep listening. We have words for you later.
The winning six man was literally the highlight of the whole night.
We need to warm tie up a bit first. Say it's like
the winning six guy ruled. The winning six guy was a top four Milwaukee Buck tonight. When that's sad because they were terrible outside of a few guys we'll get to, but a Giannis masterclass, a Pat Connaughton all time. Pat Connaughton game, but some of the worst rotational decisions. This felt like certainly pre-championship Mike Budenholzer. The other side of that too, I will say, we're going to talk about Bud, of course. Also, just like the guys that he's trusting have just been bad, and those guys deserve, you know, that's the thing about Bud. He's going to give guys shots, and we've seen it pay off. The aforementioned Pat Connaughton is the A1 example of how it can work over years. But Grayson Allen keeps getting chances, cannot play, is not a 16-game player, and is just continuing to show that game after game. George Hill, I'm sorry, doesn't have it anymore, also can't play. And maybe you can steal a few minutes, but these guys, Grayson plays 22 minutes. Hill plays 18 and a half, including some crucial fourth quarter minutes. And the same stuff that, you know, we, I think, more reasonably noted because the Bucks, you know, won that game. It's easier to be reasonable about their mistakes when they win anyway. They won that game 6 or 5, despite those limitations, and then just leaned back into them. And it's not like, oh, Grayson played a bad 5 minutes. No, Grayson played a bad 22 minutes. The Bucks lost those minutes by 30 points. And then by the end of the game, when Jason Tatum gets hot, it's over. It's too late. There's been too many mistakes already. So this is the most frustrated I've been watching the Bucks in quite some time because it just felt, and credit to Boston. I know if you don't say this 85 times a pod, it's disrespectful or whatever. Credit to Tatum, very real 40 burger. Sure.
You're being sarcastic about that, but that is
it's like, true. No, I'm being sarcastic about the trope. The Celtics did play well. Tatum did play very well. That's not sarcasm. But I just feel like every pod, you have to do that. It's like a law of pod. Like, they played really well. Credit to them. But also, the Bucks shot themselves with both feet, both arms, every appendage, repeatedly. And it just drove me crazy. Am I overreacting?
No, it's just, it's fun seeing you. It's fun is a strong word. It's different seeing
you. It's been a while since I've been like, it's, yeah, we know it's been, I was very even keeled. I was very proud of myself. It's a different energy.
This is usually my thing, Ty. This is my shtick.
I relapsed.
Yeah. Before we get too far into it, make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this.
Thanks for keeping us on track here, Rohan.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Well, Rohan's trying to do all the housekeeping. He's trying really hard.
I let the house fall apart.
Much like the Milwaukee Bucks did tonight, and now we're back on track. So you said a lot of things there, Ty. And here's my thing. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
That was a tire fire. There was just four alarm fire after. Isn't alarm the rating system for fires? Am I making
you
that up?
No, you got it.
Okay, cool. Just whatever the highest alarm number fire there are, just like multiple ones burning at the same time. There's not enough firefighters to go put out all the fires because all the firefighters are injured or bad at basketball. And that's just what it is. That's just what it is. But seriously, you mentioned a lot about Grayson Allen. I think we should probably start there. Grayson Allen was very, very, very no bueno at basket hoops today. You mentioned they lost his minutes by 29 points. I thought they did, like, immediately once the game started, I thought, okay, Bud actually listens to the pod. Because we stressed on the last episode about if you're going to have Grayson Allen play a ton of minutes, you have to take advantage of Grayson Allen in those minutes. You have to funnel him shots. You have to make use of his offensive repertoire in those minutes he's on the court. Otherwise, there's no point in playing him at all. So he started to get up a lot of shots. They started to give the ball to him a lot. The problem is that he wasn't good. And then if you're not getting any offensive production while he's leaking points on defense and being hunted on defense, it's just a recipe for disaster. And the Bucks baked up a disaster cake. I have so many analogies. I'm not keeping track of any.
It was a souffle. It was like more of a masterpiece than a cake.
It was a creme brulee because the fire thing earlier. I'm combining two things.
Oh, that's good.
Good work, Ron.
Yeah, I like that. A disaster creme brulee. Go ahead, Adam.
First book's offensive possession was, as you know, around a really nicely drawn up play for Grayson. And you're like, okay, it makes sense. If he's going to be out there, you've got to work it early. But once that shot misses, you start to feel, okay, is that a sign of things to come? And it very quickly became apparent it was. It's the worst he's looked defensively. It's the most the Celtics have targeted him and the most successfully they've targeted him. And in so many of those situations, you're just looking at it, you're like, he's not big enough and he's not strong enough. You just need to give yourself every possible chance to hang. If it's going to be Jason Tatum, if it's going to be Jaylen Brown. And we've been saying it for games now about Grayson. And we've been calling for Pat to start since game three. Is that?
I mean, yeah.
Maybe game four is it, at the latest. Like we're certainly more than a couple of games now saying it's the move that's there, staring them in the face.
It was post-game, just, whatever the first game he started was, I thought, against the Celtics.
Yeah, that could be right. It's just Pat, when he's out there, he is not the world's greatest defender, but he is very solid. He makes life much more difficult than the Celtics are anticipating. That is the complete opposite of what's happening with Grayson. If anything, they're finding it easier than I think they would even believe they're going to in targeting Grayson over and over. I agree with everything you said to open it up, Ty. I agree on Grayson. George Hill was a complete and utter disaster. This is a real problem game for the Bucks, and this is the scary one going into a game seven, because where I think there's a lot of stuff going for them, you're just not getting enough. Like, Giannis is being completely superhuman. Pat is playing out of his mind. We're still getting a very mixed bag from Drew, but Drew was not like way off the boil that you can't live with what he gives you tonight. The problem is you look beyond that and it was bad. Like, Bobby was really quite bad offensively tonight. Doing great work on the boards again, like he's fully committed and engaged, but not his best by any means. Brooke, it's just a tough series. It's become really tough with Robert Williams out. Like, if anything, the Bucks would like Robert Williams to come back because it could buy them some Brooke minutes, and they just need another capable contributor. Wes, I would like to see some more shots for Wes if they could have found them, but a long stretch of this game was not really looking for your shooters or drawing up those kind of plays because it was Giannis in takeover mode and he was up to the task. Started the second half not very well and then just finds a second kind of surge and goes again. He was absolutely unbelievable, as we've come to expect, as we certainly expected under the circumstances of a chance to close out the series.
Real quick, 44 points on 14 of 30 shooting, 14 of 15 from free throw, two from three, 20 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 4 fouls, picked it up. 4 fouls, was that the second quarter?
He was playing before for... It was the early third.
I know he played a long time with 4 fouls. Almost got the 5th. Good challenge by Bud. There ends the good Bud stuff section of the podcast. But Giannis was otherworldly, as you said.
First 40 and 20 game in the playoffs since Shaq in 2001. First 40-20 game with 6 assists ever in a playoff game.
Oh, wow. Just
ridiculous. Best player. Just what? There's no debate. Guy's insane. Guy just needed like one other guy to step up and they could win this game.
Yeah, I mean that Giannis goes Chris Middleton. Giannis goes 44, but Tatum, and I shouldn't have even been sarcastic, 46. And it's like if Tatum's gonna match Giannis's output and everything else is gonna fall apart, it's either going to be an insane rock fight or the Bucks are going to lose. And tonight the Bucks lost because Marcus Smart puts up 21 on 5 for 9 from deep. And Jalen had a nice 22-pointer as well. But the Celtics didn't have anybody else with more than 10 outside of those three who all had 20 or more. Tatum, obviously, with 40. The problem is the Celtics had 2 other guys with 20. The Bucks had 0. Drew was next with 17. Then Pat with 14. Talk about someone who should take more shots. Can we talk about Pat Connaughton ran 2 straight pick and rolls with Giannis? And they were, we're past 5 minutes. We can swear on YouTube. They were fucking perfect. Where has this been? He's been on the team for 5 years.
We saw a little bit of it in the playoffs last year, especially in the finals. We saw little shades of it. But, like, my goodness. Well, a lot of it is because Giannis is a screener. He demands so much attention.
It's a cheat code. It's really good.
There are a lot of guys who are making those simple passes, though. Like Grayson is a prime example. Grayson is not doing that anymore.
Too many guys, they start the screen, Giannis rolls, and the other player just kind of like stops and then throws it over the top, and there's no momentum. Giannis has to stop to get it. Pat is like on the move, throwing dimes and setting him up perfectly. I don't know if they really went to it again, which... Again, a classic Bucks thing, but I want to see more of that. Like, Pat should start, and when Drew's off the court, like, put the ball in Pat's hands. I'm at the point where I saw it work twice. That's 2 more times than I think I've seen anything work all night without Giannis directly on ball. Like, do it more, please.
And he had 2 great drives and finishes, off the dribble.
Just right under the basket.
Just incredible. Pure, like, oh, this is a potential closeout. I'm doing everything I can. I'm delivering. Unbelievable. Like, really, we've run out of things to say about Giannis. We're running out of things to say about Pat because of what you expect of him, what we used to see of him. Like, I always had a soft spot for Pat. I certainly didn't think he was this. Everyone didn't have, like, fondness for him for a long time. His transformation as a Buck, I know talking with Jordan about this recently, and Jordan has said, like, we don't talk about it enough, and even more so with what Bobby has become. But Pat is, like, the centerpiece development project of the Bud era. Bud arrives and all the talk is about Wing University. That's what he'd done with the Hawks. Unfortunately, Sterling Brown, those kind of projects don't work out. But Pat is the one that we've like forgotten about as a development piece because he wasn't a rookie coming in on the team. He wasn't a player drafted by the Bucks. But my God, the guy he is now, it's just night and day.
He was like a 10th man in his first 2 years with the Bucks. Maybe not a 10th man, but he wasn't a playoff guy, right? Like, he's just kind of there. He didn't shoot very well. He's just an athletic guy. And then he went from that to literally was probably the second best Buck in this game. And I'll go as far to say, pending, you know, whatever happens, we're eons away from the offseason, hopefully. Pat should, like, forget the rest of this series. Pat should just be a starter as long as he's still on the team. Like, I just think maybe we've overthought this for a while. And I know he didn't have the greatest regular season. He had some injuries, but he's just really good at everything. We've always said he's their most well-rounded option. Maybe just start him. Like, maybe just lean into that. It also seems like he always gets a ton out of Giannis minutes. He plays really well around Giannis. I think the Bucks have to all the way lean into that.
Did you guys know that he played baseball?
Bad facts.
Bad facts.
Shout out to our Discord. Yeah.
He meshes so well is the thing. Like, that's what you're saying. If he wants to start, he just meshes so well. Like, he's great at facilitating. I don't necessarily mean that in terms of the way we saw tonight, although maybe he is.
Yeah, maybe that's the next step. Maybe he is.
But he's great at facilitating those around him to be the best, which is very useful as your fourth or fifth starter.
I don't even know if I do it. Huh?
Do we think they actually do it in game seven?
I think in game seven, I would be astonished. I was astonished with some of Bud's decisions tonight, but I don't know how. Yeah, it's not even just after this game now. Like, we're on game after game after game of Pat and Grayson. Like, when you're coming to your closing lineups, the second game in a row where it's like there were the five guys we talked about last time, and that's all you're able to go to. It's a problem that is all you're able to go to. But I think at a certain point, you're going to have to start those guys. That certain point is definitely a game seven.
Yeah, I will say Grayson only plays 7 minutes, under 8 minutes in the second half. And I can't find him. Did he not play in the fourth quarter?
I don't think he played in the fourth quarter.
No, not even the garbage time. Yeah,
I think George, like when George was in, it was a disaster to start the fourth. He was in, though, because at that point, it seemed like Bud had decided no more Grayson. It's just, we've talked about it, and we talked about the place for Javon is in place of Grayson. You know,
and Hill,
you could actually get the shooting. You're going to get better defense. Yeah, but even now, the Bucks seem to be treating those as kind of an either-or, Grayson or George.
Yeah.
Well, there's an easy solution. It's Javon.
Yeah, I agree. And it, in fairness to... Like, Hill was terrible. Bobby probably should have played over more in the fourth quarter. Neither of them hit a shot. They both took one and missed. Neither of them were all that useful in the fourth anyway. I do think it would have been optimal to play Bobby. It's just crazy we haven't seen Javon get a shot at any point, really, since Hill got healthy, since early in the series. Like,
healthy in quotation
marks. Yeah, unfortunately. He's just been so good. And I just don't get how you see how little, how nothing, how negative, opposite of nothing, negatives. You can't even just use, what are they called? Whole numbers? You can't even use whole numbers to describe what Grayson gives you because it's less than zero. Is whole numbers start at one or zero?
Whole numbers are numbers that are not decimals. You're thinking of positive and negative numbers.
No, there's another. We'll research this later. There's a term I'm thinking of. But
there is a term, but it's not whole numbers.
Okay. But Javon needs to get a shot. Like, I just don't understand it. I know Bud sticks with his guys, everything else. George is in the right spots, but he can't do anything in those spots, so I don't know what that really gets you. Like, Darvin Ham knows the system. He would be in the right spots. He's probably not going to help. Maybe more than Grayson, but he's probably not going to help just because he's in the right spots. I don't
know, man. If you throw Darvin Ham out there, you might get some action.
Ham Slamwich? Maybe. I mean, what is he, 50? 40s?
Something like that.
Don't let me shortchange him. But
I don't think he's quite 50 yet. But he's
48.
48. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Darvin. But Javon needs to play. I want to see Javon in the first quarter of Game 7. That sounds like a crazy thing. And I know you're not supposed to play. You shouldn't play that many players in a Game 7. There are other guys who should not be playing. And then you can play one less player and Javon Carter and be a net super positive. Like, that's why you should have given him a shot in game five at some point when Grayson was obviously not able to go. Should have given him a shot to start, not start, but play the second half or second quarter tonight's game. Because now if you do play him and he doesn't play well, then it's going to be, oh, Bud's an idiot. You can't throw a guy into the fire game seven. I think you kind of have to, but it's not a great option. Why is Rohan laughing?
I just saw one of the greatest tweets of all time. I'm sorry to flame you, Matt, but at HP Basketball said he would have given Rodney Hood minutes in this situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that was quote tweeted to, the Dante DiVincenzo trade was such a bad idea.
Honestly, the Dante tweets, which Rodney aren't coming from Hood. Bucks fans, just Big to be
Rod.
Clear.
Big Rod would have been better than Grayson tonight.
I'll say that. I don't know. What about a certain other?
No.
The one thing with, as you pointed out, you really shouldn't be playing that many guys, and it feels like they're down to six playable guys, and with Brook, that's going to depend on, you know, picking your spots. And if Robert Williams does come back, which it seemed like he was going to be back for game seven from the reporting earlier, it seems like he is that close. They were just taking kind of full care with that. We'll see. Do we think he's going to just drop George or Grayson out of the rotation completely?
Yes.
I mean, no, not.
You
I think
he will do it?
No, I think they'll play, but I think he has to have a really short leash.
I mean, we literally saw this last season.
We didn't.
Like, what? We literally saw them go to one bench guy in game seven last season. It's possible.
I don't, they didn't actually, though. Brin played 5 minutes, so nearly.
So two bench guys.
And Thanasis has played 51 seconds. This is a wild
tie
box
my point,
score.
Tie my point still stands.
Well, no, but I think 5 minutes should be the Grayson thing. I think that's how it should be. And I don't think it will be, because I think Grayson probably played more than...
Did Forbes really play 5 minutes?
He got a, which is ideal for Grayson, how he's playing too, which is, okay, this could be the night where his shot's falling, and if his shot's falling, we want him out there, so we'll give him 5 minutes and let's test.
Bud is obsessed with that idea. But here's the thing. Forbes played 11 minutes in game six of that series versus Grayson, who played, 22? And I think the second half trend is worth watching, but still it stands that he got so many chances and did nothing. 1 for 7. 1 assist, 1 turnover. 3 fouls.
The thing for me is, I couldn't believe when he was getting the minutes he was to start the third. I couldn't believe then.
It was a run every time.
6.5 minute mark, when they finally found a little bit of something, they take a timeout. And I was like, okay, Pat was at the scorer's table before the timeout. And yet they come out of the timeout and Grayson's still in then. And he's in with Bobby. And we've talked so much about that.
So it's obvious.
Like, just don't put the two of them in together. That's the thing that's hard to understand. And then when Pat's only playing 33 minutes and like he's clearly good for early on. Look at Wes, but Wes, we do know what age he is. Pat is one of the fittest, best conditioned players on this team. And we've seen him last year in the playoffs when called upon. Like, he can go 40 minutes. So it's not like you need to keep his minutes as low as that. It's just, that's not good from Bud. That really is. I think, did you tweet, Ty, that it's the worst since the Nets series?
Easily.
I think there's zero doubt about that.
I think, honestly, truthfully, I think it's the worst I've felt about him maybe since the Miami series. Because I think part of the Nets series, all right, it's KD. He didn't do great coaching, but I didn't think the rotation was as inexplicably bad as it was here. I understand the point about Wes's age. He didn't hit 28 minutes. Al Horford is defending Giannis. He's 35. He played 38 minutes in this game. Wes can't get 34. I feel like he could. Has he looked gassed to anyone?
They're different people.
Well, yeah, they are, but did Wes look gassed?
Well, my thing that I will agree with you on that is, start of the fourth quarter, again, Grayson can't play. He brings in George. Wes is sitting. That's when the momentum that they had got going goes away from them again, because as we've said for games now, aside from anything else, and George Hill's clearly not in the best condition with his neck injury, with everything else he may have going on with his health and with his age, just generally, he's too small though. It's really simple. He's too small for Tatum, and the Bucks keep trusting him on Tatum, and the Celtics keep working to get Tatum on him. And it's like, that's part of the fourth quarter story and part of, Let's just, for Jason Tatum, I mean, you mentioned the Nets series in terms of his KD, and maybe you could put some slack. This is the most KD we're ever going to see anyone else. It's a little bit disturbing to get to another Eastern Conference semifinals against a really good team and have someone else do what KD was doing last year. But Jason Tatum, he did that today. This is a next level performance. It's what I've kind of feared all along. I hoped wasn't going to happen, so we could just move on and be like, he's a fraud. But I've said it from the start of the series. It's like, if the Celtics are real, Jason Tatum has to be real. He has to show he's the next level guy. Out-dueling Giannis on the road when Giannis played as well as he did, you know, win or go home, that is really, really impressive. It goes back to then also Book's approach to this. And that ties into your West minutes. It's like, if you want to slow Tatum down, you really need Wes out there as much as possible. Like, your point on Horford and his age, when Giannis comes out of the game, Al Horford comes out of the game. When Giannis comes back into the game, Al Horford goes back into the game. And you're looking at a 15-minute differential between Jason Tatum and Wes. Like, that's obviously, you can't ask Wes to go blow for blow with him for the entirety of the game, but bridging that gap is definitely fair, and it's going to have to happen in Game 7.
Less than 6 fourth quarter minutes for Wes Matthews.
Yep. Oh, man. There's just...
disaster class.
Yeah, it really was, wasn't it?
I mean, Giannis was good. Pat was good. The winning six shirt guy is the third best.
Can we talk about him now? Will he allow it? Yeah. I don't want to put it right at the end.
No, it's good. Yeah, well, yeah.
So, man who got plenty of TV.
Really time. Good screenshots.
The cameras loved him. The cameras loved the shirt. It was kind of scenario where at that point I was like, maybe if they win this in six, a cameraman's already spotted the shirt and is being like, yeah, we'll go back to him late in game. You know, that's perfect. But guy behind the baseline, the way the Bucks were shooting in the first half, winning six shirt, repping GSPN in the building.
We haven't identified him yet, right?
We haven't. I've put out the call. So we've got to assume he's either one, follows on Twitter, two, listens to the podcast. Yeah. So winning six, man, if you were in the building, behind the hoop, good seats. I don't want to estimate how many rows back, but good seats. Get in touch with us. Get in touch on Twitter, maybe during the Discord. That'll make it really easy. But get in touch. Send us proof that it is in fact you, and we'll hook you up with some more winning six merch for, I don't know, maybe with those seats, you're going to Boston for Game 7 now, and you're going to wear winning six merch in the building there.
How fast can we make a win in six, but the six is crossed out and it's a seven shirt? We don't have the technology, do we?
We don't. Here's the thing.
We do have the technology. It's called a marker. A marker?
I'm wearing a new win in six design. This is. I was hoping we were going to unveil this in a much more, you know, positive celebratory win in six kind of way. But it is the name of the podcast, so I can't do a whole lot about the fact that the Bucks didn't hold up their end of the bargain. But alternate winning six merch now on the store, gspnstore.com.
Wait, can you move a little? The mic is covering. There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
The wing. That's nice.
gspnstore.com.
gspnstore.com. We've got all sorts of new winning six merch up there with the alternate logo. It's really good. I'm definitely biased. I'm not going to say I'm not, but it's really, really good. So make sure to check that out. And hey, pick some up. And who knows? You could still get a chance to be on TV for the Eastern Conference Finals, the NBA Finals. The Bucks need to figure some stuff out. Bud needs Summer to make some decisions. Summer League, sure. I won't see it, so people will have to alert me in that case, but we'd appreciate it all the same.
The NBA draft, they still have fans, go to that. You can watch the Bucks trade their pick live.
It could be like when I do my day's worth of research for the draft. I just like crunch draft stuff.
Doing that. Like,
I'm doing it this year. I'm locked on one guy. I'm locked on to one guy. I won't. If they don't take him, I have nothing.
Well, that's not how it works, though. You got to do all the research.
That I'm out on draft prep and will defer to more knowledgeable people. But back to this game.
Yeah. Should we talk about Brookie Cookie?
Yeah.
Kind of sad. Yeah. I mean, it won't be a long combo. They got him more involved offensively, which we've been asking for. They still lose his minutes by 22. Some of that is the Grayson effect, but those are the two guys who had really bad plus minuses. Now, no single game plus minus is very noisy, but the simple fact that it tells you is they lost the minutes with that player by X. Sometimes there's a reason, sometimes not. George Hill has the best fourth quarter plus minus. Sometimes there is no reason. But I think Brooks was indicative. I think his dwindling minutes, he hasn't played in, I think, two straight fourth quarters now. There's just nowhere for him out there without Time Lord playing. I mean, they were giving Grant Williams wide open looks, and Grant Williams just can't do anything anymore. But when the Celtics go with Derek White as the fifth guy, there's just nowhere for Brook that works. And he's just not able to defend the rim effectively against the way this team is playing. So it stinks. But, you know, that's why you really, in game seven, and I think probably after Brook, we should segue to how can the Bucks win this thing? But I just think it's going to be hard for Brook to hang in for more than 20 minutes if you can even get 20 more minutes out of him, given that Time Lord does not play or does not play much.
Yeah, it's really all going to hinge on Time Lord, isn't it?
Yeah, really I don't know if there's a way you can scheme him minutes. I mean, I guess you could just try and have him hang with Horford, but you can't just keep giving up every switch because then you've got him on Tatum and Brown and White, and that's just not going to hold.
And in a tough, tough look for weaponize your size, Tatum loves Brook there. Brook is giving good contests. Tatum just, his eyes light up and he's just making that shot, particularly tonight for fun. Like, I'd guess that's where that minus 22 comes from. It's just he was bleeding shots on Tatum, pulling up and making trees over him.
Everybody except Giannis, Drew, and Wes, Tatum sees food. Pat kinda.
He sees food with Pat, but he doesn't necessarily always get the results.
He's only snacking. He's not having a feast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you want to hear Bud ask? Do you want to hear Bud ask about Grayson Allen's minus 29, 22 minutes?
I have to, but I don't want to, but we have to.
So this is from Eric Name.
Yeah, no.
The plus minus is a tough stat, and sometimes it's good, but Grayson is doing his best. That group, I don't think we started the third quarter. The start of the third quarter kind of stands out to me. And we'll look at the film, and I'm sure Grayson could be better, but as a group, it's really on all of us to be better coming out of the third. That stands out to me. And he had some good looks, just some nights they go, some nights they don't. Sometimes you get good looks. I don't know when they got their transition points, it can flip. You make one or two of those, he feels a lot better, less transition defense, more half-court defense, but as a group, we got to be better.
That's not bad. That's not a defense of Grayson.
My only issue with that, though, is more half-court defense is not, like, that does not spell good things for Grayson either.
That's not my thing with it. My thing with it is that he specifically points out the third quarter when it's like, bro, there was an entire first half as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it just wasn't going well.
The Bucks just don't take first half seriously and don't start trying until 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So Bud just kind of writes off the first, like, who cares? We'll just take the fourth quarter.
The first is kind of interesting, though, because like at that point in the game, maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, maybe we just can't think like this anymore, but the Celtics' entire offense was made threes.
Yeah.
They started, what, 5 of 5 from deep?
I think so.
And not in, like, exclusively awful breakdown, wide-open trees like the Bucks usually give up. So you're kind of shrugging your shoulders because the Bucks are right there with them, and the Celtics had no interest in going inside. And the feeling then is like, right, well, they're not going to beat the Bucks just with the three-pointer. They outscored them by 30 points, though, overall, with just long shots. So they didn't, but they certainly did more than enough damage, and it carried on beyond the first quarter. But points of the paint probably needs to be a bigger gap for the Bucks. Although when Giannis is getting to the free throw line a lot, that's going to bring that down. Celtics getting more free throws, though, is surprising in this game. It didn't really feel like that either. I'm not saying that as like some claim of the officiating, just to be clear for, I don't know, all fans.
I thought it was a solid game overall. A couple that I griped with, but that's pretty normal.
A couple, I think George Hill, there was one with him and Tatum in the fourth quarter that was very, very soft at a time where
I thought
every call mattered a lot.
Bobby had verticality on, I think, a Jaylen Brown drive.
It was Jaylen.
Yeah. But again,
I just think he caught his arm a bit. But.
Yeah. It was a tough one. I think in the playoffs, I would want to let that go.
I think it's a little tough when you obviously are letting Giannis get hacked.
Yeah.
And then you're a little softer. But I mean, honestly, it's like that's what it always is. I know he went to the line.
He got a lot of 15 times. Yeah.
15 attempts.
He gets hacked a lot, for sure.
That's the reason the Celtics went to the line more than the Bucks is because the Bucks only had like one guy who was actually trying to do anything. You know, all those other players were not having the problems. They're not getting to the line. Pat maybe could have got to the line if they could have stopped them, but it just turned out they could not stop Pat. They couldn't even foul Pat. So I like, who are we looking? Drew? There are still too many pull-up trees from Drew. I don't know if we have
that transition attempt where it was three on one, and he just pulls up. I'm like, awful. Bro.
I mean, they baited him into doing it, but also just you don't have to. Like, they both went with the other players because they were like, oh, we know what Drew wants to do. And Drew's like, you bet you do.
Drew saw his Lost Kingdom stars in the crowd. He's like, I got to do it for them.
He wants to pull that sword out so MF bad.
It's an axe, huh?
Oh, sorry.
Is that not a sword?
I don't watch the show. I thought it was a
pretty
sword.
Pretty sure it's an axe.
I thought it was a sword, too. I thought they talked about
it. What are you pulling an axe out of?
What do you put a sword in?
A sheath.
Yeah, it's an axe sheath.
All right, Rohan. I think you're taking two L's. I got to Google whole numbers later when someone else is talking. But
oh, God. I think you don't want to keep bringing that one up. You've lost that.
For the fouls, George Hill gets 5 in 18 minutes because he can't keep up. Grayson has 3 in 20 minutes because he can't keep up. Brooke somehow only had 1. He felt like he got beat at the rim a lot, but I thought he fouled more and he didn't. But I just think there were some guys on the Bucks who just kind of fouled often. So that was the story there. Like you said, Adam, I didn't think it was egregious or overly one-sided either way, and which is good. I'm glad. I hate games that we talk about the officials a lot after. And
like this was a, like, just to say, and I, because we're in the heat of it and obviously we're very invested, this is an incredible series. And like when the Bucks are making their comeback in this game and it's like Fiserv was really rocking it, like this is a great, great game. And I'm sure to be a neutral observer in these games, like that's something that's really resonating, even though we're definitely not getting to enjoy it. I don't know if any of this is particularly enjoyable, but yeah, the officiating, for all of the kerfuffle around the officials and the changes to officials and everything that went into today's game, largely stayed out of the way, and the game was one that wasn't dominated by discussion of calls, which is an improvement even on some of the games we've seen in the series.
I'll take the L here. It's a sword. Yeah, that's my bet.
Take him with grace.
I'll admit when I'm wrong. That's the only way you know how to learn, you know?
For sure.
It's natural numbers.
That's right.
So we were both.
So you're also taking the L?
Yeah. Over here? Yeah. Okay. Well, I knew it was a thing. I thought it was whole numbers. It's not. So it's I think natural
the
numbers.
The moral of the story is that neither of us were listening to Adam.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a really long pause. You're both just checking to see if you're actually right. You're both just hoping beyond hope that you're right.
And neither was. The worst part was I caught all of what you said, and then at the end I locked into this Wikipedia, and then I lost a little bit. But I'm sure the listeners thought it was great. Let's talk about Game 7, I think. Do we have anything else for this one?
Man, that sucked.
Yeah.
Can I have one thing of... It would be great if we could get the Al Horford games and we could quiet down Jason Tatum again, because he's now had 6 points combined, I think, in the last two games, and that has not made things any easier for the Bucks.
Do you think so that's strategic?
Can we blame Adam for it?
Blame who?
You.
Me? Why? Yes.
Ever since you called Jason Tatum's 30 fake, he's been elite.
Oh, right. Well, I did have the conversation. We had an animated conversation that same episode, myself and Ty.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it, like, as in, but Jason Tatum is the problem. Like, Al Horford can make as many trees as he wants. I don't care. That's not going to lose.
No, see, that's where it does matter.
It's not going to lose. That's not the thing that is single-handedly, like, if Jason Tatum goes for 35 and Al Horford is 7 of 8 from deep, yeah, that's going to lose you a game. But that's not what was happening with Tatum earlier in the series. His efficiency was like scraping the floor. He wasn't even getting up to 30 kind of point range up until he's been building last three games. You certainly don't want him to build again and keep that upward trajectory going. But I don't know. It's a risky point to shake things up and maybe bring greater focus. But it's something you're going to have to consider, because you don't necessarily have enough bodies, enough players who are well-equipped to defend them to match up across 48 minutes and just be able to trust in that right now.
Yeah.
Unless we're going to see Giannis on Tatum or something like that, but Giannis is going to have to do so much prediction. On the other end. I know, it was your call. But can Giannis do that and do everything else? Like, they're going to need him to play
maybe
like 46 minutes.
For 1 minute or something, but not for much more than that. I think my thing is just you got to do both. And, you know, there's only so much you can do about a Tatum guy, but, like, not putting George Hill on him or letting him get to Grayson Allen purposefully, that's what you can do. And the Bucks just have to do that. There's just no – I mean, you talked about how they should try and toggle a lot of Wes's minutes with Tatum, especially in the second half. They should do the opposite of that with Grayson or maybe Hill. If you're going to play either of them, put them in as soon as Tatum checks out, because, you know, Jaylen Brown also can hunt Grayson, but he's just not as terrifying, despite whatever that was game two, as Tatum is, who is showing us why everyone was ready to anoint him as a superstar. Is he first team All NBA this year?
Or
is he second? Yeah. He's first, second. No? Have they announced it yet?
No.
They haven't announced him, no. It's like, what does Ty know that we don't?
He's not gonna be first. First team forwards are going to be
Giannis, Embiid, Jokic.
Jokic, yeah.
I don't think so. I think they're going to have Embiid second team again.
No, they're not going to do it.
I think they are.
Okay.
If that happens.
Yeah, then it's him. They're not going to give it to KD. He didn't play enough.
I think they would give it to KD.
I think Tatum had more MVP votes than KD.
We'll see.
I'd
be very surprised by that.
I think it's certainly in the cards. He's that level of player, that's for sure.
Embiid would deserve to get angry about that.
Oh, yeah. It happened last year, too. I agree. I think he should be
voted on, like, 2 months ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, Tatum had a great year, and the Celtics were really good as well, as we've heard ad nauseam.
We have heard.
Did you guys know that the Celtics have a good defense?
If I didn't, I do now.
Well, not, yeah, they do have a good defense, but not all as imposing in the playoffs.
I'm making fun of the top.
I know defense. You are, but what's the best defense for the Celtics in this series? It's the Bucks' offense, unfortunately.
Yeah,
and sometimes that's the best Bucks defense is the Celtics' offense.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and except when Tatum decides to just not miss again.
He made as many threes as the entire Bucks team today, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, again. It's real sad when Giannis is God, 30% of your made threes? I can't do math, but two of seven?
29%, yeah.
Jesus.
It really hurts to lose a Giannis 2 of 3 from deep, 14 of 15 from the line game.
It's brutal. Well, let's start the keys for game 7 there. Don't shoot 7 for 29 on threes and let Boston shoot 17 of 43. There's a good place to start.
I think you're right.
Well, let's throw them out. Let's throw out everything that we feel.
Do we
like.
Have faith that they'll do that?
A little. I think better than this. This is 2 games in a row. At this point, you just have to be due, right? It's Bobby. We just need it from Bobby.
I've been thinking about most of the series, and it hasn't quite. Well,
most of our lives, I think.
That's also fair.
You know what I'm seeing? There's one guy for the Milwaukee Bucks that can come out, hit a bunch of threes. It's a nice tall wing by the name. His name starts with J. It's Jordan Wara.
It's James Christian Middleton, is it?
Yes. I was kidding. It's James Christian Middleton.
Oh, Jim. Big Jim.
Yeah, Big Jim. Oh. No, Big Jim's Big Jim.
Yes.
Yeah, Jim Ozarski.
I don't even want to talk about the Chris thing. I felt like I got my hopes up before this one, and now I don't feel good about it.
You don't? You don't think he plays?
I don't know. I just won't feel as good about it either way. Everyone said, oh, it's fine if he plays game 7 because they need him more. I don't know. I guess it doesn't work anyway because, you know, that games are all 2 days apart now. But if he really wasn't ready to come out and try and close it out in Milwaukee, is he really going to be ready to go play in Boston? Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, like, that's his season. I think he's going to want to.
Well, of course. I think he's wanted to play in this one, too, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. But
he was coaching.
Then maybe you gotta let him play just so he stops doing that then. If he was coaching in this game, you gotta
do something.
Did you
not see him like chew out Giannis the half court? He may be doing some of the better coaching in this game. I don't know.
But I don't want to focus on it too
much. Breaking news here. The Lakers have requested permission to interview Chris Middleton for the coaching vacancy.
I was like, did they ask for a third Bucks assistant? Like, what are we?
They saw one tonight and they're like, wait, we haven't interviewed that guy yet. Who's he?
Sidney Dobner, come on down. Shouts to Sid. Other key, I'll do one. Play Javon.
There we go. I'm all the way in now. I'm all the way in. Like I think it was last pod I said like it doesn't really matter.
It matters to me now.
It matters to me now.
Yeah.
Just play.
I agree. My concern is if that's the key to game 7. I don't know.
It's not like a major key. It's just a part of the things we want to see in
it's
game 7.
It's how you can
but
unlock.
Keys it sounds better.
I think we should see it.
How you can unlock not getting shellacked by 30 points in the first half while one guy plays. It's a key to that, which I guess is pretty important.
And you might still get shellacked, but it would have been nice to try it at some point just in case you don't.
Yeah.
And there is some evidence over the course of the season and even with just the kind of player Javon is that, like, is he better than George Hill with a really bad neck?
He made as many shots in a minute and a half as Grayson and George did in 40 combined minutes.
Wow.
I mean, come on, man. Like, come on. I don't know what else has to happen at this point. Besides, you don't want this to happen, obviously, but literally besides a guy being unable to play, I don't see what else could possibly happen to show you Javon has to play over these guys.
I agree. There's literally no reason why he shouldn't be playing, especially with what we've seen from George Hill, what we've seen from Grayson Allen. Just let the man play. He's clearly a great interview.
He is clearly a great interview. Great interviewers helps too, of course.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if the Bucks can let the Celtics over 90 points.
It depends on Bobby. That was one of my keys for game 6. It didn't happen. They need Bobby to score. He just hasn't. He's been good relatively despite that, but they need it. They just need it. He's going to have to play a lot. We've talked about a lot, you know, how few guys they have who can play. He is one of them. Even without scoring, he's been good out there. I want to say, feels to me like two guys have been targeted successfully by Boston's stars, and that's Hill and Grayson. They've gone at Bobby a few times. I think he's held up, but they need him to score. They need him to score. He has not shot well all series. He has not scored well since games one and two in Boston. If he could just pull out a really strong, and again, really strong, like 15 points, which is very doable for Bobby Portis. That's how you get to that situation. But if it's again like this for him, then yeah, you need to really clamp Boston, which it's getting hard as Tatum finds a rhythm.
It's the fact that it's like we could talk about Tatum and Tatum 46 to Giannis is 44, but it's also when you go to second and third, it's not just that Brown and Smart of 22 and 21. It's that's more than Drew Holiday, that's more than Pat Connaughton. And then you're at a point where you're not making your depth pay in the way it should. You're not getting the benefit of that. And we've said all series, Bobby's offense is really the thing that is, it literally played him off the court earlier in the series. We're at a point now where he just can't but be on the court. I do think, though, if the Bucks are to win this game 7, they're going to have to make it unbelievably ugly. And that doesn't mean like that Giannis isn't going to score 50 points. It's just I don't know if the rest of the team have like more than 40 in them.
Oh, it's an either or, right? Either we actually get the role player scoring that we've been hoping for, or that needs to happen. And both would be great. I think both probably is a little pie in the sky, but it sure would be great.
It's always possible that we get a role reversal on this game and the Bucks go into Boston and the energy's all there for the crowd, but that also brings a pressure. And you make a couple of threes early, you quiet the crowd, and you make a couple more, and you find yourself in a good position. You're able to, like, that's also one thing with this series, with how low scoring it is. Those runs are backbreakers because they just come back to hurt you eventually. Like, you can get back to within four, but there's going to be the runs either way. And if you've given up one of those to open the game, by the time all said and done, I think it's more often than not going to come back to hurt you. Obviously, the Bucks in game 5 are something of an exception to that, but they got their run back late. But that's, to me, I am just worried about what kind of score it may need to be for the Bucks to win. Their defense has been so good that I think they're up to that, but the holes in their defense are the players that need to play less. It's not to do with their execution. It's not really to do with a lot of what they're putting out there in terms of scheme. Celtics are finding it super, super difficult if there isn't a player for them to go and pick on.
The points per possession switch versus drop is stark. They just can't drop much at all. It's not
which is also
against Boston.
A lot of that is down to Brook, and again, the way the personnel shift has gone. But then it's also, as we know, it's not Bobby's best spot to be in. It's not even Giannis's best spot to be in. So if you're not going to be playing Brook, switching is what makes sense.
And that's what we've seen them do late in games. Like in the fourth quarter of both of these games, they just say, okay, we're just going to switch everything. Which, I know we're talking about game 7, but like, do we just see, like, another thing about Bud is we're just seeing the good lineups only in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. The Giannis and I think Jeff called it Giannis and guards, which I think Pat, not really a guard, but.
Wait, who's Jeff? Oh, Van Gundy.
Van Gundy. Oh, yeah. I was like, am I way off on a name again? He called it Giannis and guards, but that is like when they play like that, they're just so much better. And in this series, I should say, and I think you have to go to it more. Just thinking about the depth, we thought Milwaukee's depth was such an advantage. It's two good games from Daniel Tice. I'm actually disgusted.
It insults me. It insults my very essence when Daniel Tice is playing well against Milwaukee.
They won his minutes again, right?
They did. He was a plus four.
It's backbreaking. That's the minutes you have to win. It's Daniel Tice. I know he's okay. But it's Daniel Tice.
He's not
Tice.
Okay.
They're just getting, like, outside of Pat, they're getting more consistency out of fewer options, which is the thing that hurts. The Bucks have multiple options that should be able to help them off the bench. We're just not getting contributions. They're just not delivering. George's health probably doesn't help on that point, but then maybe he's just washed anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an inspiring season prior to the injuries.
No, it wasn't.
Either. It was better than this, but...
That's always a possibility. But, like, Derek White, who wasn't great tonight, he did have one great burst, which was really important for the Celtics. And again, it's like those spells. Yeah, his best play might have come in the second quarter, but it helped them to put a run together that ultimately, when you look at how close the game is down the stretch, like, it really, really matters. Every point matters, every run you have over the course of the game. And that is an adjustment for Bud, because it can't just be about, oh, well, the best guys will come in late and we'll get the winning run. It's the weight of the runs throughout the game is what adds up.
Yeah. To that but note, I think...
To fix that, it's starting lineup, right? Yes. And with the way Bud structures things, if you bring Pat in instead of Grayson, I think you're going to see much more of the best five players out there throughout the game.
To that point, you know, the way that the Bucks again, just really, I think, started okay despite Boston making threes, took a lead for a little bit there, and then lost it in the second quarter. You play less Grayson. You don't spot, again, 30 points in those first half minutes, I think it was, or right around there. Maybe this game, it can be more like game three, where Tatum goes gangbusters and the Bucks just like they come in with the lead and do just enough to get the win anyway. Like they were still hanging in there until, you know, whatever it was when Tatum, it just added up to being too much. But that's because they had to make a comeback and deal with that. If you're bringing a lead in, you can survive that kind of outburst. I mean, Giannis had that kind of outburst and the Celtics survived because they came in with the lead. And I just think that's why couldn't agree more that there needs to be more seriousness in the first half rotations. I mean, you can't wear everybody out by the fourth quarter, but there was just like these long runs with no timeouts, Grayson and Bobby playing together for extended stretches. It just made it really easy for the Celtics to build up that lead. And then the credit to them, but they were able to sustain it with some elite shots.
It really sounds sarcastic, that.
Well, I think it always kind of is when people say it, but it's true.
You don't want to get into a war with Snotty.
No, I don't. I will say one positive. Home court has not really meant anything for either team this series.
I was going to bring that up, yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to the Bucks. It hasn't for 2 years. Like they're not afraid of going and winning on the road. We know they've done it. We've seen them do it in some of the most important games.
Yeah.
It won't faze them one bit, which is maybe the most important. Like, they won't be stepping onto the court, starting the game, being like, oh, you know, this place feels hostile. They'll be ready to play, whether they deliver a game and whether they execute in a way that's up to standard is what's going to matter. But I don't think it's going to be like, oh, the crowd's gotten their heads.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just not going to be a factor in that way.
Although this is going to be the most hostile crowd, but I mean, they just had to go
You're saying more hostile than Brooklyn?
Yeah, than the Barclays Library. But they just had to go into Boston and win after Boston had tied it up in game five. The cadence of the series has been like weird Bucks win and then Celtics counterpunch. Just need to keep it up for one more game and we'll be all right here.
I want both of you to give me a bold prediction. Bold prediction for game seven. I'll start though.
Okay.
Chris plays.
That was going to be mine.
That's no repeats. That's why I went first.
I want one that I really believe, and I'm struggling a little bit. I think we get it's so unlikely with the load and everything and the evidence from many of the playoff games. I think we get the Jrue Holiday offensive masterclass. I think it happens. I mean, that's, you talk about the role
now
players.
Or never.
Yeah, that's one of those things that could very easily swing the game. I think it's time. I trust Jrue. He's a champ.
Giannis goes for 50.
Is that bold? No, I'm kidding. Wow. I'm kidding. We'll get 50.
50's
on the road.
A lot. It might not even points.
Be that no, bold, yeah. though.
That's bold. That's bold. That's bold. But we all kind of expect it. We all kind of expect
40
it.
40 in three games.
The problem is, I don't think Giannis going for 50 like will automatically equate to a Bucks win. No. It's what Ty said. Like if Jrue gets 25, that might honestly be more of a swing factor in the outcome of the game than Giannis going for 50. That really says a lot about.
What if Chris goes for 50?
That would be a hell of a storyline, Rohan.
If Chris goes for 50, what'll I do? I'm not going to say it.
You'll sing?
I've done that already.
Multiple songs? Like, there'll just be like
an album.
An acapella session with Rohan on the YouTube the next day?
Nope. Don't want to mess with copyright laws.
If you sing it, you can't get hit for copyright. It's
that is true.
Rendition.
You're allowed to cover it.
Yeah.
Oh,
YouTube full of cover versions.
Oh, I'll go off then. Yeah, sure.
The thing with Chris, do we think he's, if he does come back, he's most likely going to look like a shell of himself. I don't see how he can.
He's going to be the Grayson Allen. He's not going to start. Pat's going to start. He's going
to
come off.
I don't think he would start. The Bucks don't like to start guys when they first come back.
This is just such a different scenario, though, that I don't.
I don't think they would start.
It's kind of beside the point. I don't know if that matters in terms of. Do we think he would be helpful enough just by being out there that if he's on the floor, the Celtics have to respect him and that's going to open things up? Do we?
Yes.
I'm firmly convinced he would bang in like 4 threes in 18 minutes or something.
He's going to see Celtics green everywhere. 100%. And he's going to.
100%. Yeah.
In Boston?
Yeah.
The Boston fans are going to be terrified beyond belief.
There will be nothing sweeter than Chris deciding to play in Game 7 in Boston and just doing what he does to the Celtics over and over.
I don't see how it wouldn't happen. That's what he does.
I think he would come off the bench, though, if he played. You would sort of treat him like an extra bench guy. Like, if his shot's falling, if he looks good, then you play him in the late stretches of games. And if he doesn't, you just don't play him.
Even if that's the case, I mean, if we could get Pat starting, so all of a sudden the starting lineup is solid all around, and then Chris is one of the guys coming off the bench.
That would be just nice.
A complete game changer for the potential, like,
I don't even
extra
want to think about
non-Giannis
it.
Points.
It's so tantalizing.
Yeah, you're getting too excited. I
know.
Can see it.
Yeah, well, it is. It would be nice to have Chris Middleton, it turns out.
He's looking real spry, coach, on the sideline. But only come back if you're healthy, Chris.
Yeah.
This Bucks team, like, I don't, maybe this is just the obvious, or maybe everyone's just lost. This Bucks team is really, really good. Like,
yeah,
this Celtics team is formidable. The Bucks are right there. They could still win this series. I would like to think we're not going to have all other kind of conversations on Sunday and beyond that into next week. But I don't know what this is telling us. We didn't know, because it's telling us a lot of good about the Bucks. And it's also kind of like, hey, you know, if Giannis doesn't have enough help, things get really difficult in a hurry. Then bad bud decisions, like, they cost you twice, three, four times as more. Like, all of that stuff is kind of what we've known.
Would we have been happy before this if we knew they got to a Game 7 without Chris playing at all?
I think yes.
Going into the series,
I think without the context of how we got there. Good. Without knowing any of the actual individual games, just that they split 3-3.
I mean, didn't we made predictions, though.
We did.
I said, like, Bucks in six.
But that doesn't mean, I also said Bucks in six, but I didn't say seven. That as in, you know, I wouldn't be happy to get to seven.
We also didn't know if Chris would play or not.
I believed in the Bucks, Rohan, is the point. But that doesn't mean, like, you. I'm not a... Well, I was about to say I'm not a fool, but believing in the Bucks.
I was going to say, that's where they get you.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have been thrilled, but also I think there was a chance of this series just being an abject disaster from the start, right? I mean, I think we were pretty confident, but without Chris against a great defense, I mean, that's going to be hard. We know even with Chris, the Bucks have struggled with half-court shot making and generating enough points. Without him, it has been very grueling, to say the least.
God, what I wouldn't want, I just want to see a nice little baseline turnaround right now.
Drew tried. He made, start the third quarter, he made one tough one and then almost made a second one. And
I just want to see a back and down of the turnaround at all.
I just miss those FU threes from, like, the elbow where, like, he doesn't even really pump, he's just kind of there. And
he waits for the guy to get closer
and then just hits it. Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
I miss those.
We're like the full-on Wolverine meme right now.
How could you not be?
You can't. I got to tweet that once we're done recording.
the series is so close that it would not take much more for the Bucks to already be true. We know this. The fact is, they have much more on the sidelines than available to play.
Darvin Ham.
Literal all-star.
Well, I hear he may play game seven.
It couldn't be worse.
How good is Charles Lee? Is he better than George Hill right now?
I don't know.
He could give you some guard minutes. He played some point guard in college.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Chase and Allen did
internationally too.
Right? Chase and Allen.
Charles Lee does have
teams overseas.
Charles Lee does have a reputation as like one of the better players among coaches. That's been his reputation on staff, is that he's really, really good for development and for workouts because he can actually play and compete where most assistant coaches can't. So yeah, get Charles and Darvin in the rotation. Everyone else wants to give them jobs. The books are like, hey, you think you want to be a head coach? How about we give you an NBA deal?
Yeah, players make much more than coaches. You guys want to turn back the clock? I think this entire conversation is more of an indictment on George Hill than anything we said previously.
Yeah, because we're not 100% joking.
No.
I'm at like 85%.
It's true.
I'm like, at like 50-50.
Leave it to Rohan to make me seem like the rational one.
George is old and injured.
Yeah.
And it's
tough.
Charles Lee's not injured to our knowledge. And he's old too. So like the advantage Charles.
Is George older than Charles Lee?
That can't be true.
It's very, very close.
It's close. Charles Lee is in his 30s. I think Charles Lee is older, but it's only like 2 years.
Yeah, I would say he's probably 37, 38.
I would guess 38, yeah.
Charles Lee is 37.
Oh, good one, Adam. Isn't it funny how that's, I mean, it makes sense, obviously, but like, oh, it's such a young coach. And it's like,
that's how old Chris Paul is.
That's pretty crazy. All right. Any last thoughts now that we've done our bold predictions? Giannis 50 burger from Adam. Rohan, yeah. Yours was Chris plays. Mine was Drew Holiday offensive. So the big three, that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Big three predictions.
I think that's maybe because I don't know how much confidence we would have had in fun predictions outside of the big three.
I thought about Bobby, but I felt like I talked about it enough earlier. I don't know if I'm predicting it, but I do
know. What would your over-under be for Bobby for points?
For a bold prediction or just?
No, just if you were, what do you think the Bucks need? What's the kind of range 15. You look for? Okay.
I think you get 15 and that changes everything. When's the last time they got 15 from a non Chris?
They got 14 from Pat tonight.
Yeah, so non Chris Drew Pat. I mean, I'll check now if Rohan, you want to start spooling up the outro, but I feel like I can't recall offhand.
I 15. I just want to see Bobby hit double digits, man. Like, just he's been inefficient recently. Like, even his big three with a
14 from Bobby in game five, but on 4 for 14 shooting.
Exactly. We need some efficient role player shooting, not coming from Pat.
Just 17.
Pat's not even a role player. He's a star.
17 Brookie Cookie in game four.
17.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That might be the boldest prediction of all. And I said Charles Lee might play.
No. That happened in game four. I'm saying,
oh,
I'm not predicting. That was the last non-2 to score 15.
We know that Brooke can and will do that if they find a way to keep him on the floor.
Yeah, but the problem was they lost
his minutes on the Celtics.
They lost his minutes in that game too. It's not enough.
I'm you not could predicting. Chip some losses if he gives you 17 points, but they need Robert Williams and they need a whole bunch of stuff to go their way.
I am not predicting 17 Brookie Cookies points or made shots.
So you were tweeting Brookie Cookies out.
Yeah,
I thought this was for. I didn't think this was just for any point he gets. He's not someone who never scores.
I mean, so in this series, we're kind of getting
confused
there.
But you just said he got 17 in game four.
I know. That feels like a long time ago now, Adam.
It was Monday.
I think my week. Point still stands, Rohan.
That's fair. What day is today? Friday?
Yes. Yeah,
it is Friday.
Cool, thank you.
Friday, night.
This is the part of the podcast where someone else sings, is it not?
Well, I think not tonight, unfortunately. The reviewer.
I was checking the reviews just in case we had any more requests. And
not yet. Soon.
We do have a review we can get to. It's like we don't have requests.
Yeah.
Oh no, darn it. yeah, I think we're done here.
How many people reached out to you about that?
I had a couple.
What did they say?
Funny enough, in one group chat, I had complete dichotomous reactions. Someone said it was beautiful, and someone else said that they had to stop listening because they were cringing so hard.
See, that person is a coward. No offense if they're a listener, which it sounds like they are.
It sounds like they might be.
Well, the social clip got shared too.
That's true.
Got to put yourself out there to be great. Learn from Giannis and Rohan, the two greats.
Okay, I got something in that clip. thank you for that, Ty.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is if you're still here, credit to you. This has been a very
the crazy thing is people are.
I know, it's awesome. Like, we have awesome listeners. I appreciate and love every single one of you. Personally, that sounded weird. I'm just going to keep going. Thank you.
I'll be very excited to hear about that, bro.
Thank you. I do. No, but like sincerely, I do appreciate every single one.
It is. It's really cool.
Also, thank you to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah. The bag secures processing.
Yes. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening, especially like YouTube podcast platform of choice. Make sure you check out gspnstore.com. As Adam mentioned, there's new Win in 6 merch live. You can be like the guy on national TV. That's so cool, by the way. That's so cool.
Multiple
repping
times.
GSPN on ESPN. Which one's the better SPN? G.
I think if we did a poll, we would wreck. Like, we would wreck. Okay. We would really do well in the poll. I think I'm going to drop some news. I've heard when we get 100K on YouTube, we drop the Rohan body pillow on GSPN or GSPNstory.com.
I mean, 100K, yeah, sure, go.
I thought you said you were going to leave people alone when we got to 1,000, and now you're just out here openly threatening people.
Well, there's going to be a couple
it
listeners.
Depends on the people.
A couple listeners are going to chip in for a bot farm. We're going to wake up tomorrow with 250K.
And thank you to those listeners.
Well, no, we're gonna get in trouble with YouTube. Well, we have a review.
It's not our fault.
We do a review.
Say thank you to them. Don't encourage. Don't bot farm our subs. Don't get caught. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts from Jay Littman. Great pod !! Is the subject line. And Jay says, Celtics fan here. It's a rocky start, I know, but hang with me, listeners. Take your 5 stars and have a nice day. I do appreciate, we've gotten, there's a couple on YouTube as well, that it's just like they're good, the good Celtics fans, and some on Twitter too. Not all for sure, but I will say there have been some good Celtics fans. And shout out to the 6 of you total.
It's usually the opposite. Like, everyone's like, oh man, there's only like a few bad apples. Ty's going to do complete opposite. There's only a few of you.
Shout out
to the 6 good Celtics
it's,
fans.
It's unfair of me because back when I blogged about multiple teams, I would try to post the stuff on Reddit, and I still follow some of those subreddits. So I see the Celtics post when I'm looking through. My favorite subs are like, stuff underwater, like it's very like not really that basketball. No, like bridges and dams.
I don't know what you thought we were thinking about. We still think it's weird. Your favorite stuff is stuff underwater.
Oh, I thought you took stuff a bad way. That's what I thought the look was.
No, I just think it's weird. It's not what I expected.
I'll send. You know what? I'm trying to think of where
I can
share this.
Thank you, Jay, for the review.
Thank you, Jay, for the review.
It
was very kind. But I see that, and people on Reddit always are terrible, generally. So I see all these 500 comments saying Giannis is a linebacker.
What about the stuff underwater sub, though? Is that, are people good on there?
Yeah, the comments are good there. There's a lot of good information on there. I can't pronounce it. It is...
It's fine. You know what? It's fine.
Submechanophobia.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. All I'll say is on the Celtics fan, this is a cool thing that adds to our collection from last year, where I know on Apple we do have reviews from Heat fans, from Suns fans, from people who have checked in. And that is one of the fun parts of the playoffs, is where people do kind of dip their toe in and they don't just hate us for who we are. And in Ty's case, this is someone who loves stuff underwater.
Yeah, I just dropped an example link into our group chat of the current top post. It's Swedish Navy divers salvaging a cannon from the warship Cronin.
I'm sure Jordan and Andrew will be thrilled to see that link. Be like, what is going on?
It's pretty sick stuff, man. It's pretty sick. Hey, other people, you guys not into this from seeing this is cool.
Rohan, take us home, please.
Wait, one more. Sometimes I see these TikToks and it's like someone restoring an old rusty lock. Would you guys be into that too or no? Is it just me?
You're revealing a lot about yourself.
I have tears.
It's so cool.
Did you see this once or is there multiple?
No, just like, I get them like once a week. Like something really
I need
rusty.
To chill out. I'm going to look at some rusty locks. Get on rusty.
It's a great way to do it.
Thank you for listening. Okay. Subscribe wherever you're listening to this madness. Oh my goodness. If you're a rusty lock, hit up Ty in his DMs. If you're underwater, hit up Ty in his DMs. Otherwise, I'm Pod Random and we'll talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.